5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room Radio Show, brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing. Experienced publishers of horror, noir, bizarro, and all things dark in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. You can find us at www.hellboundbooks.com. But first, get your feet up and enjoy the show.
Guilty pleasures, and it is the new Panic Room episode 327 on the it's the 19th of October already. Can you believe it? And it's been a week, and Christina and I were just chatting before we came on the air, but we both have had a bit of a week on top of last week and the week before and all the many weeks before that. But I think without further ado, let's bring her on. How are you this evening?
Oh, you know, because we did that pre-record for that podcast that we were on, what was it, Tuesday? Was it Tuesday?
Oh,
I feel like we already
we
done
did,
for the
didn't
week.
We? I know. I know. And we said this before, when we, you know, it's not often people let us on other people's podcasts together. And I know why now. We just take over. And it's difficult,
so
you know,
fun,
and it's the same
yeah.
when we have podcasters on our show, you know, again, we have the same, that they sort of feel that they
yeah.
slip into host mode. It is difficult. We've
yeah.
been doing this so long. I mean, yeah, they stick us in front of a microphone and we're sort of, you know, it's our damn show, you know, but and I have
true.
To say, I thought we were incredibly entertaining, I have to say. I guess a shout out to J.R. Hadley and his show. I think they mostly do sci-fi fantasy stuff, but they sort of, you know, they were nice enough to have us on the show, and it was fun. What was that
yes.
girl's name? Stabby Stabbington
Stabby
or something.
Stab, yes.
Manny Stabby Stab, which
Stabby
is a great
Stab.
Name.
I
wish. I'm going to change my name, I think, legally to that. Because
she
what
was
a great,
great.
Name.
I did.
But they were good bunch of people. I enjoyed it. It was good fun. But like I say, it's difficult. I found I was sort of asking the other guest question, because we had the lovely Erin Lewis as well. on.
Yeah.
I was sort of asking the questions. Hang on a minute. No. No, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop that.
At one point, the host asked a question of all three of us, and I was like, Erin? Like, it was like my show. Like, I was directing things. And I'm like, oh, wait. Yeah, I don't have to do that this time.
No, there's a couple of silences where we all sat and thought,
yeah.
who's supposed to be answering this then?
Right,
is that us or what? You know, I don't know. But it's
fun.
They'll never ask us again. I think they'll probably never ask us again. We should get them on our show just so they can come and take over our show. I think,
yes,
it was fun. It's nice to let somebody else have the headache of pressing the buttons on the logistics as well.
Yes, and. Yeah, you know, when it's not our show, when there's a silence, I'm like, you know, I don't have to be, you know.
Not my problem. It's not my place to fill this silence, so I'm not going to bother. Yeah, I had that as
my
well.
Face would get, my face would get real hot and stuff, and I would be so like, oh. And it's funny because even now, after the show, I'll ask my husband. He listens from downstairs. And I'm like, oh, my God, there were some awkward moments there. And he's like, I didn't hear him. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. Maybe it's just us because we, you know, are here.
I think for us, like, you know, a tenth of a second seems like, you know, 10 minutes, you know. It's like.
It's true, yes.
But,
yeah,
it is. But, again, we're just old pros at this now. Just old pros. I think that's probably sums us up, really. We've been at this for so long now. You know, both this and obviously Hellbound Books as well. You know, we've been around. We're sort of the old boys on the block now. You know, which is kind of cool. You know, some of these that we started out, they were sort of wow. You know, we'd love to be where they are, and they've not been going much longer than we have.
And then there's some, the fly-by-night ones that were like, oh, there's up-and-comers, and then where are they now? And
I know, there's been so many of them.
Yeah.
But
the good ones,
it's nice
that
we're still
around them.
Absolutely, you know, we're still putting out top quality books. You know, we obviously in the run-up to Christmas, we've got a whole bunch of great books coming out. We've just launched Playground of the Dead by Stone Wallace. We have... personal favorite of mine, Flying Dark by Colin W. Sargent, which will be launched on the 27th. And then we've got some...
Crimes of Hate just came out.
Crimes of Hate. We've got Happy Holidays, again, a favorite anthology.
Oh,
great one. Not a Christmas-themed one. It is a holiday-themed one. A load of holidays, some I've never even heard of. I'm going to have to tell you this, and I, again, it's in my list of things that what I learned this week is White Day, and it's a Japanese thing, and White Day is traditionally a week, it's not what you think, no, don't go racist, it's...
I was going to be like, that doesn't sound like something we could have over here, so...
They wouldn't dare, because right. somebody would be offended, you know, but it's a week after Valentine's Day, and it is the day in which people give back the Valentine's gifts they didn't want.
Oh, no.
So it's basically the day that you dump your Valentine. I thought, what a brilliant... I could just imagine the range in Hallmark cards for White Day. That would be brilliant. And the little poems, you know. Roses are red, violets are blue. I've dumped your ass. And here's your crappy your crappy service station chocolates back, you asshole.
Oh.
You know, I mean, but great, you know. There you go. See, I can write poetry, believe it or not. So, anywho, what have we got on the show this evening? A bit of a special one this evening.
It is. And there's, you know, it's always so much fun when we have a bunch of people on, and it's going to be a fun night tonight. We have some of the authors, the contributors from House of Haunts. It's an anthology that's out, I'm excited. We're going to have Josh and Heather Doherty. You know what? I even talked to her ahead of time, so I knew how to pronounce her name, and I still fumbled it. But yes, it's Josh and Heather Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Mer Winery on and Brooklyn Ann. So, we're just going to...
Right, okay. We said earlier, it's always happy chaos when we do this.
Yes.
So I'm getting you introduce them again. I'm going to hit the button and we'll get them all on in one go. Shall we do that? best of British to everyone.
This evening we have House of Haunts contributors. Woo! That's all I'm going to do.
Hello!
Hey!
Hello!
Hey. Oh,
yay.
We have
Hello.
People. Thank goodness. Hello, so who have we got? Who have we got? Let us know who we've got. Speak up.
This is Joshua.
And Heather.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Josh. Hi, Heather.
And Mer.
And hello. And Brooklyn.
Hello.
Hi, Mer. Yay,
hey.
Everybody's here. Awesome.
Hey, guys. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're having a jolly evening.
Oh, yeah. Carving a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Won't that have gone all mush by Halloween, though?
Yeah, I don't really know how long they stay good for. Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's a foam pumpkin. One year I did Pinhead, and the last time I did Pinhead on a real pumpkin, the deer ate his face.
That is poetic. I've done Pinhead a few times, and we cut little cocktail sticks for the pins. It always works out really well. But yeah, obviously here being Texas, you know, it's always hot. You know, they don't like we carve ours on Halloween and put them out, and they're usually soft and squishy by the next day. You know, so nothing lasts, unfortunately.
I would say if you carve a very like nice, happy face this time, by the time it gets to Halloween, it looks like a grotesque, nasty.
What a good idea.
Very
what a great idea.
Do you know, I can actually say I've never carved a pumpkin. How sad is that?
What?
That's pretty sad.
What is wrong with you, woman?
I don't know. I think one year we had a pumpkin and we scooped out the seeds, and I've never carved one.
But you are such a big fan of Halloween.
How do you not do that? I mean, I have fake
pumpkins
all over the place, but no real ones. No, you know what? I'm going to have to tell my husband we have to get a pumpkin just so I can.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And post, you need to post pictures of you carving it.
Yeah. Or you know what? Maybe it's because he doesn't let me run the knives very often. I mean, that could be it.
You're not allowed anything sharp. Yeah, that is understandable.
Yeah, so you guys are here to talk to us about the anthology House of Haunts. I love the little tagline here. Come tour the most haunted location in the world. Come visit our House of Haunts. 23 rooms, 23 ghosts, 23 stories. Will you survive them all? Awesome. And whose idea was this little anthology?
That would be mine. Heather's. I got the idea in my head last year that I wanted to put together and edit an anthology, and I figured the safest way to go was with a haunted house, because that's your most basic, everybody loves it kind of horror. And so House of Haunts was very slowly born from that point onward.
I do have to say, I think a haunted house is one of my top favorite scary tropes there. Yeah, definitely. So any house that has more than one ghost, though, and I don't know if I could do it. But no, it's a really cool idea. So it's just one big house, and the contributors picked like a room in the house. Is that basically what was what the premise was?
And a year.
Cool.
So
the
way Heather put it together was the book was going to be a tour guide through not only this mansion but the grounds as well. And she starts the book off that way. You know, okay, here's what's going on. Let's get started. Watch your step and take care of your candles. And it just goes room to room, and as it goes from floor to floor, you get another little like intro on what's coming, and then you have several more stories, and then it gets out into the ground, and then she winds it all up together at the end, telling the story of how it all began. So the guy built the house 200 and something years ago. All the ghosts and all the rooms happened. One happened in like 2019, another one was 1862, another one was 2020.
Wow.
So
nice. That is a really cool idea there. And did each writer of the story, did they get to pick their own room and year?
Yeah, when I first started this, I made a list of rooms, and I literally approached the authors one at a time and said, do you want to be part of this? And if they said yes, I said, here's the list of rooms, pick which one you want. And then they would pick their room, I would mark it off the list and then go to the next author until we had all the rooms filled in. And then once they had picked rooms, I said, now you got to pick yours because we can't have everybody writing their story at the same time period. Mm-hmm. We're going to have people's characters running into each other in the halls if we do that. So everybody pick a, and, you know, we tried to keep them all at least 3 or 4 years apart. So there was some time for the house to settle, I guess, between each story. And yeah, everybody picked their room, picked their year, and got busy writing.
That is, I really love that idea. Why don't you, Josh, tell us what room you had and what your story was about a little bit.
It's a little bit of a longer story than just that. So I came into this project about halfway by marrying this woman. And I came in bringing Water Tower Hill Publishing, which is my press that I started over the last 4 years. And it's not horror at all. There's no horror part of my press. But marrying a horror writer, I absorbed her Parlor Ghost Press herself, and now we have a horror wing, and now she basically runs the entire show. And so she had an author drop out for family issues, and she didn't really know what to do. And being a newlywed, I was like, hey, I got you. You know, I'll write you a story. And I love historical fiction. So I got the ballroom, and it's a house in the deep south of the United States. So I was like, yeah, okay. If it's around New Orleans, I've got to have a Mardi Gras party. And so mine's 1862. The Civil War just kicked off. There's a Mardi Gras party against the law, actually, because they had outlawed that stuff because of the War of the States. But they had it anyway, and the Union Army, which had done some pretty brutal stuff around New Orleans anyway, basically comes in and murders everybody.
Nice.
That's so nice. my kind of story. Love it.
It's a bit more than that, but no writer gives all their secrets up front.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I still have my pants on. So,
Heather, what about you? What was your room and in year?
I took the mausoleum, which my year is 1823, which is the year this house was built. So chronologically, my story is first, but it's actually the last story in the book because I use it references a lot of the stories that came before it and kind of ties everything together and explains how this whole disaster that is Hale House began in the first place.
I like it. Yeah, I think we had an excerpt that you were going to read from the beginning, I think.
Yes, I'm going to read the,
yay.
Like Josh said, it's the, my part that I wrote as the editor, as the curator of the anthologies, I wrote these little sort of tour guide intermissions in between sections of the house, so that it's like the reader is being shown the house little by little as they go through the book. And this is the very beginning. This is your welcome to Hale House.
Okay.
It's nearing sunset as you approach the estate, that magical golden hour found only on crisp October evenings. Shadows stretch long and dark across the ground. The sinking sun sits low on a horizon striped in shades of autumn fire. The fence which surrounds the grounds is tall, black, and surprisingly straight considering its age, a thousand iron spears pointing toward the darkening sky above. The gate is a tangle of wrought scrollwork flanked on either side by stone pillars. Atop one of these pillars sits a statue whose weathered surface might depict a lion, a dragon, a gargoyle straight from the pits of hell. The centuries have worn away the sculpture's original form. Beyond the gate, a long and winding drive stretches through overgrown fields. A cold wind, sour, sweet, and sibilant, sweeps over the land, calm but constant, rustling the dry grass. In the woods that surround the estate, the few remaining leaves shiver and tremble against their branches. At the end of the drive, Hale House rises, a broad block of darkness against the dying light. Your eyes are drawn to the house. The blank windows, the spires of the widow's walk atop the roof, the sheer hulking size of it, the cloud of bats that rise from the chimneys and swirl into the air above. You jump, startled, at a loud screeching caw. On the tilting pillar to your left sits an enormous black raven, so perfectly still that you take a tentative step toward it, half convinced that the bird is made of stone. The old blackbird tilts his head at you, one beady eye sizing you up as he ruffles his inky feathers. His gaze pierces deep into the dark and cobwebby spaces of your soul. You feel a rush of vertigo, the falling night opening into a spiral which threatens to pull you in. But what was that? The rusty creak of heavy, long, disused hinges. You drag your eyes from the raven. He caws and flaps away. The gate now stands open. In the distance, a silvery candle flame dances to life in a small third-floor window. Hale House welcomes you.
Nice. I like that. I was going to say, when you make out the signed copy, that's X-T-I-N-A. No, I want you to keep going. You know, I want to. So let's go to Murr. And what year did you have and what room?
I had the dining room in 1984, so my story is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said good year, good year.
Okay. Yeah, and it's told from the perspective of someone listening to a cassette tape they found, so it's the narration's a little different. It's basically, it's more of a, I'd say more of a ghostly object or a haunted object story. It does have ghosts in it, but it's told from, it's basically about a man and his daughter. The guy's kind of down on his luck, and he's got this old house that he gets to move into, you know, dirt cheap for a reason. And it's about him and his daughter just trying to kind of survive. And they picked the wrong house to do that in because, there's, I mean, clearly it's Hale House, and Hale House has got problems. So, but it revolves around a strange mirror that hangs in the dining room, and things happen with this mirror, and things start to happen with the daughter. And I'll just say that without giving too much away, there are several strange meals that are served there. So that's basically my story, but It gets a little more involved than that, but that's pretty much the gist of mine.
Awesome, awesome. I think we're going to take a quick break, so don't anyone go anywhere, all right?
Okay.
Oh, are we having a break now? Oh, well, you know, nobody tells me anything. I suppose I'll press the button then. Here we go.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media, Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
You were Welcome back to part two of The New Panic Room, brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, we're back. Hopefully we're back. Okay, before we bring the guy. Funny enough, actually, I just have to say, obviously, the great, late, great Connie Francis, who was in many ways the Britney Spears of the day, so there is a link with the music tonight. Two of them, anyway, and it was an absolute accident. But reminds me, I haven't got time to tell the whole joke, but the punchline of the joke, what a great joke I from many years, used to tell this one in high school, was that the punchline was, there is a difference between lipstick and gangrene, you know. On that note, you have to fill in the rest of the joke, but it is a very, very funny joke. So, without further ado, we're going to do this.
And now, it's time for another book review.
It's the lovely Ooh. Samantha.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How
are you?
It's been forever.
We are surviving. How are you guys?
Yay.
Yeah, good. I'm pleased to hear it. Pleased to hear it, yes. Only just. Clinging on.
Yes. Literally, clinging is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you
but,
have
you know, that's,
Sam?
That's what life is, unfortunately, right now. But, you know, it gives us the advantage over those people who are dead. So look at it that way.
Oh, God. It's true, though. Oh, so what do you have for us tonight, Sam?
So I just finished up Stripper Noir by Aaron Lewis. This is a good, it's a good crime book. It's got a lot of police procedural stuff in it. There is glitter and Las Vegas and lots of exotic dancers.
So can I just say, Jim's talking. We were on the show with Erin, and it just stuck in my head. And she, if you don't know if you remember, actually, she described Las Vegas as an armpit, and I love that.
Pretty much, yeah.
I love
that.
She said, "No, Vegas, it's an armpit." She says. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
Oh no, that is so funny. No, I really liked Frank. He was a good character. Minnie was an interesting character. It was a really good story. It has a lot of exotic scenes, but there were some good, really good scenes just between characters, like with Frank and his old partner. Listening to I hear it in my head, so I say listening, but like reading the scenes between the dancers, like back in the back when they're getting ready to go on stage, you get to learn a lot about Vegas in this book.
Awesome. I need to pick it up. It's actually by Aaron Lewis and Armand Rosamelia. We had them on the show together, and I want to know what they're like, how they came to write together. I don't know if we asked them that question, but I'm gonna have to ask Aaron. Say, how'd you guys pick up to write a book together? Yeah.
It's great, as you say. I mean, yeah, it's not horror, but obviously, you know, Hellbound Books, you know, we have ventured into the dark, murky world of noir thrillers, and it is obviously it's in the title, to be honest. The story they told, that was just their working title, and they got to the end of the book and said, what we're going to call it. I think it was Armand who said, we've got the perfect title, and I have to agree.
Absolutely, I have to agree with that too.
I couldn't imagine it being called anything else, so good on them.
Definitely. Sometimes that's the hardest part, is to find a good, you know, when the title clicks, then you're like, you know, you're all done. You're like, okay,
well, you know, the worst thing is when you come up with a really, really good title, you think, that is my, I can't think of anything else best title in the world. So you do a quick search on Amazon and there's 350,000 with exactly the same title because everybody's had exactly the same idea. And it's like, oh. Well, funny, just a quick story from me. My last novel, Tenebrium, was originally called Black Mass. It's a bit of a cliched title in the horror genre. And B, there's about the same time, the biopic about Whitey Bulger, played by Johnny Depp, the other gangster, came out, and they called that Black Mass, which I only found out when actually Johnny Depp's people called me wanting to buy the domain name I'd bought, which was nice because I let them buy it for a disgusting amount of money. But then it was funny. And then the thing is, I was reckoning, what am I going to call this? What am I going to call it? And I thought, well, hang on a minute, I've got the name there. And there is not one other book called, there's Tenebrius, I think, but not another one called Tenebrum. So it kind of worked out.
I'm so glad you didn't name it Black Mass.
Right.
So am I.
Right?
So am I.
Well, what would you give Stripper Noir stars, Samantha?
That's a good question. I don't ever think in star form anymore. Probably like it's a good 4-star because it's got a lot of stuff in it, and the writing's really good.
Awesome. That's a good.
Brilliant.
4 stars is good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I feel like we have to keep going with the show because we're not that much longer. But I did miss you, and I'm so glad that you're hanging on, even if it's just by the tips of your fingers and stuff. And hopefully next week you'll be doing even better.
Yes, I missed you guys too. I'm hoping next week will be better.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you, Sam.
You take
I can't
care.
Wait to talk
okay,
to you next
Samantha.
Week.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye bye. Yeah, it's going so quickly this evening. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring the guys back on. Hello.
Yay.
Are we back?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, and I think she's been really, really quiet, but I was going to get to Brooklyn Ann and ask her what room she had in what year. And tell us a little bit about her story.
The room wasn't exactly, I didn't actually get to pick it because it was more of the carrot on the stick that lured me into contributing because I was like way behind on deadlines. So, but Heather's like, you should do the garage because she really liked a scene in my novel, Her Haunted Heart, that took place in the garage. So, and that just sounded too fun to resist. And so my story is the ghost backstory takes place in 1974. And then in 1997 is when the main story takes place. And it's a divorcee ends up with stuck in the house. And she finds a haunted 1967 Dodson Fair Lady.
I really love the concept of this book. That sounds like, I guess I wonder from you, Heather, do you have any plans on, volume 2 or a different idea but the same? I hear laughing. So go ahead and tell us.
I think Josh is laughing, but I think all of us are probably smiling at this question because, yes, we have already begun to discuss number 2. My ambitious thinking is that there will be at least 5 books in this series that are all something of haunts.
It's funny how she says we are starting to touch on it. We have a cover. People have signed on. we're pretty
darn
serious about it.
We're thinking about it. And obviously, you said number 2. So who got the lavatory? Who got that room?
Oh, Gage Greenwood. He got the lavatory in
House of Haunts. Gage did. That's not actually one of the available rooms in the next one.
The next one's a... Go ahead and say it.
Number 2 is going to be Hospital of Haunts. So it's 23 Ooh. Different places that you would find in a hospital that are all haunted.
Well, they do have lavatories in hospitals as well. So
they do, but they, you know, hospitals give you a lot of options to choose from, and so mm-hmm. with House of Haunts, I had to struggle to come up with 23 different locations that people
yeah.
could write about, and then with hospital, I had way more than 23, and I had to cut it down. So, you know, some rooms just didn't make the cut.
Oh, well, we got a haunted bedpan. There's a story for you.
Now, is there a reason for 23? Was there some kind of significance with that number? Another
laugh? Not really. Originally, the book was originally going to be 12 rooms. And I feel like I've told the story about 12 times today already, but there was going to be 12 rooms. I had like 10 of the authors picked out and signed on. And then I just put out a call on Facebook and to see if I could get two more people who would volunteer to write. And I had like 60 people who volunteered to write.
Oh, wow.
So obviously I couldn't take them all, but I thought, well, I guess we could add a few more rooms. So we ended up going up and up, and we were at 24 for a while, and then one person dropped out, so we ended up with 23. And I don't know what it is, but my husband tells me that 23 is a number that has some sort of significance.
The whole movie's about the number 23.
I don't know what he's talking about, but apparently it's an important number. That's just what we ended up with, so that's what we're going with from now on.
Well, it is the number number of chromosomes that we have, so maybe something subliminal there.
There's a conspiracy theory about the number 23. So in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, they said that the sum of all things was 42, and that's all happy and go lucky, but the real dark underside of things is the number 23.
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So for Murr in Brooklyn, are you guys going to be a part of the Hospital of Haunts?
I hope so. It's so much fun.
I won't be part of that one, so.
I was going to be, did I just put you on the spot there?
No.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, yeah. No, I, you know, you guys going to have to come back when we do when you finish Hospital of Haunts. Hospitals can be super duper creepy. I remember when I was younger, my grandfather was in the hospital, and I remember me and my cousin, and it was one of those, you know, we were in the hospital day in and day out, so we pretty much lived there for a couple of weeks, and me and my cousin would just go wandering around for, you know, a good portion of the day, and there was this, the what do they call it, the geriatrics ward, you know, the older people. We'd pass by this one room, and there was this woman who would just scream, and it was really frightening when I was younger. And then I remember one day walking past it and hearing the screams, but when we got, like, past the room, like, completely past the room, it was empty. And I was like, we didn't.
Oh, wow.
We didn't hear that. Yeah. I was like, we didn't hear that. That didn't happen. You know, when you're younger, you kind of explain it away. You know, maybe I just, you know, just expected to hear it. So I did. I'm going to see if that happens now in my older age here. I think I would be booking it pretty fast out of the hospital. So.
Excellent.
Which is funny because, you know, most of the horror, people we know, and even you, James, you'd probably be, you know, going into the room as fast as you could, just, you know, see what it was you heard. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have this question here for Josh, married to Heather, horror lover there. Does she scare you at all?
You know, we met in a really interesting way because I'm not a horror person at all. I enjoy some of the movies at specific times of the year, but and now I'm getting to enjoy it a little bit more. So being married to a horror lover does change you a bit. scared of her. Like, we were friends for a while, and then we met at one of my book signings here in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. I was coming into town and asked her to come up, and you know, I was going to give her a book, and she's going to do a review for me and stuff, and then a year and a month later, we were married, so... having that friendship, who she is, and of course, enjoying her reviews and who she is, and she's just, you know, gorgeous. I'm not scared of her, in the horror sense. I'm more scared. Like, I'm not afraid of getting a knife in my ribs. I'm afraid that I'm slowly losing touch with reality around her a bit. It's too good to be true sometimes. And I don't like, because I came from like being really single for a really long time. I'm like, I think she's messing with my head.
Of course she is.
So not the horror, but very much psychology.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about that answer.
That's sweet, though. I know that, like, my husband is not as much – well, he's not really a horror fan either. You know, he thinks it's all right, I suppose. But he's more of a sci-fi, you know. And it is pretty funny when you're married to somebody who isn't into horror like you are. Like, you know, even when it's not the spooky season, there are still a lot of things that are on display in my house that normal people would think is, you know, really creepy. I have like a collection of creepy dolls and, you know, skeletons, and they're not my Halloween decorations. They're just my decorations. And so that's something I think he's had to kind of deal with. I'm like, okay, after, you know, the spooky season, I'll try to put away some of the skeletons. But I'm already trying to plan in my head where I can put them, that they're probably, you know, pretty much out of his sight, but not really up. So I'm trying to work the system a little bit. But now I'm giving myself away because he's listening, so.
Same.
Yes. I was wondering if
that
I,
seems
you
to
know,
be a,
you'd... Go ahead, Josh.
That seems to be a theme with horror people. They do love the decorations. Or when we first moved in together, she has it's a library, but she calls it a cabinet of curiosities. And there are some things in there that I'm just like, okay, if I'm going to love this woman, I've got to accept this cat skeleton on the fire mantle.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
So.
Yeah. She's got a purpose in everything. That's great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So now that we still have like a few more minutes here to discuss other like creepy things. As far as, you know, we're getting Halloween soon and movies. When's the last scary movie that you guys have watched and what would you recommend?
Well, we're into this Usher show, House of Usher. I've been holding off on the last one, but I'm a little more, if I'm going to watch horror, I like a little more of the blood and guts than Heather does. Actually, she likes the psychological part, like Hitchcock mm-hmm. and stuff. I like Saul.
Yeah. He says he's not horror. I think maybe he's a little more horror than he wants to admit.
Yeah, you know, it is funny that you say that because I my husband's kind of the same, and he's that person who kind of sides with the bad guy. You know, you've seen that meme where the guy's like, yeah, right in the eye, and that's kind of like him too. And I'm like looking at him like, are you okay? What's wrong with you over there? Because I think I'm with you, Heather. I do prefer the more psychological aspect of horror because that gets in your head. You know, that's not just, you know, blood and guts. That's you question your sanity sometimes, and that's pretty spooky.
Yeah that's the good stuff.
Yeah, so are you guys liking that the new show? I haven't seen it yet. I did love what was the first one,
The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes, I really enjoyed that one. The second one, I was like, eh, you know, it's all right. But I definitely liked the first one. So how was the third one holding up?
It's good.
Well, this is actually the fifth one.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they did The Haunting of Hill House, and they did The Haunting of Bly Manor, and then Midnight Mass, and then The Midnight Club, which I actually haven't watched because we were in the middle of dating and getting married and moving, and I sort of forgot about that one when it came out.
I loved it.
But Fall of the House of Usher is actually the fifth of Mike Flanagan's horror series.
Wow.
We have one episode to go, which I don't know, we might watch when we finish this up if it's not too late, because we need to watch it.
But it's pretty good.
It's great.
It's definitely on my list. It was definitely something that I wanted to see. You can't really trust reviews. I'll see one that says how amazing it is and then another that says how awful. So I've come to just think, I just watch it for myself and see what I think. But definitely got to find something really spooky for this time of year. What about you, Mar? Any recommendations?
I think the last movie I saw at the theater that was good was Barbarian.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was different. I mean, it wasn't like everything that was out now. I mean, it's a little edgier, a little unnerving. But yeah, I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what about you, Brooklyn? What would you recommend for us, Brooklyn?
Oh, I love cheese. A lot. So I'm going to give a horror comedy rec. I really loved Renfield. I think I enjoyed that one more than Cocaine Bear.
Yes.
Even.
I loved it too.
I made my movie club watch it again with me for the second time, and I've already seen it like six times. But I also like the classics, and so tonight I'm finally introducing my son to The Shining.
Awesome. Great movie. Oh, well, this has been so much fun. I think we are just about out of time. So before we let you guys go, we're going to start with Josh and Heather to let us know where we can find you online.
Well, you can find me at joshualloydfox.com.
That was short.
Heather? I was.
I'm on all social, well, not all. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now, as H. Doherty Horror on all of those things. There's a Parlor Ghost Press Facebook page, which has all the information to order House of Haunts at the very top of it, by the way. And there's also a Water Tower Hill Publishing Facebook page, so you can find us on Facebook, mostly. That's where we hang out.
Awesome. Mer, what about you?
On Facebook, Instagram, that's Mer Winry, Amazon, and I just recently got on Blue Sky as well, so that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
And Brooklyn, what about you?
My website's brooklynannauthor.com, and then I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, X sort of, but migrating more towards Blue Sky these days.
Awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. I keep hearing about it, but I really haven't looked into it yet. But, thank you guys so much.
It's 2009 Twitter.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm there. Thank you guys so much. I can't wait to have you guys back when you come on with Hospital of Haunts, because that's going to be really spooky. But for all of our listeners out there, go out and find House of Haunts. And I can't wait to talk to you guys again. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it was fun. That was fun. Not the usual chaos. So it was a great bunch of guys. I know you've bagged the signed copy, but I'm going to have to get myself. I love the concept. Why didn't we think of that? Why is Hellbound not?
I know.
Probably because we're a little bit too toilet obsessed, because we have our amazing trilogy, The Toilet Zone, which is just remarkably not all toilet based stories. They are all designed to be read whilst on the toilet, so that's really, so that's where we come from. So, you know, brilliant, great bunch of guys, and I wish them well with their phenomenal anthology. But unfortunately, time has beaten us. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Well, it's true, so true. I didn't do right by you. Yes, I didn't know the right thing to do. May I make it all to you. Well, it's true, so true. I didn't do right by you. Yes, I did all the right thing to do. May I make it all to you. Oh, when we met, I thought that we'd be so happy. We'd be so gay. When we met, I thought that we'd be so happy, but now you've gone away, and I'm blue, so blue, and darling, I don't blame you. Yes, I didn't know the right thing to do. One day I'll make it all. That we would be.